Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a survey tells us what stays in Vegas. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So today you find out what you didn't find out, what stayed in Vegas. Oh, and NASA's working on the next high-speed Concorde-like aircraft.
That Vegas thing, is that like you don't know what you don't know, you don't know? All right, at 3:25, Gwen Duncan joins us with some tips on how to get the best results from your travel agent. Hint, ask the right questions.
At Jack London State Park every summer, you can catch Broadway Under the Stars. We have a preview of this season coming up at 3:40.
And if you're a frequent Flyer Miles Hotel Points geek, you'll want to stay around until 3:50 when Julian Keel makes his debut here on the Travel Guys talking points and miles.
It's a rowboat sort of Sunday in Sacramento. Thanks for spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, sir. We are the Travel Guys in the studio. I'm Tom Romano, and out in sunny Arizona, it's that time of the year. If you recall, last week at this time, we were sending Mark to spring training, and you know what? He just refuses to come home. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I could see me spending a whole month down here in the not too distant future every year. It's if you're a baseball fan, this is baseball heaven down here, Tom. There are 16 teams. There are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games every day. Some teams play split squad games, so there are more games than there are teams some days. And day games, night games, it's possible to fill your day with baseball all over the place. Except the one thing that's really that's pointed out this year is the crowds have gotten just huge. Every stadium that we've been at has been a sellout. And standing room and things like that, and also the ticket prices. When you come to spring training, folks, you can expect to pay ticket prices that in many cases will exceed what you would pay for a similar seat at a major league ballpark.
No kidding. I would have never guessed.
And Tom, it's the oldest economic law in the world, supply and demand.
Yeah.
And these stadiums down here only hold, we were at Diablo Stadium at Tempe yesterday at ASU, that was absolutely bursting at the seams with standing room people, and you couldn't have gotten another person in with a shoehorn. They had about 8,000. The Giants regularly draw around 11,000. Our group is over at Hohokam Park today where the A's are playing, the Cubs, and any game that involves the A's, Giants, Cubs, or Angels is pretty much a guaranteed sellout. So words of wisdom, if you're ever thinking of coming to spring training, is get your tickets as early as you can. Otherwise, you can always pay street broker prices. I mean, there are tickets available depending on what kind of price that you want to pay.
Now, is there package deals where if you know you're going to go in advance, you can buy X number of games in any kind of a package?
Well, Tom, what some people do is they buy season tickets. They will buy tickets to all games for one team, and
wow,
basically that means they're seeing a game every other day or so.
Right.
And even though they may not plan on attending all of those games, they just buy the package outright, and that guarantees them a seat. The other thing, as we've talked about often here, about 95% of the seats at most stadiums are in the sun. Now, today, where our folks are at Hohokam watching the A's and the Cubs, this about 25% of the seats there are in the shade, which is the best stadium here in spring training. But a great number of the seats are in the sun, and if the temperature here gets above 75, which it is pretty much every day this time of year, you're going to just bake in the sunshine. So it's really important to get seats in the shade. You can always move into the sun or something like, you always catch some rays at the pool later on, but being 3 hours at a baseball game in the sunshine can cause some real serious problems for some folks.
By the way, we have a couple of, what I call them kind of the odd couple, if you will, from KFBK that are down at spring training. They go every year. I don't know if you heard about it, but our sports guy Pat Walsh and our political reporter Gary Dietrich. Now, and that's, like I said, I don't know if you could get an odder couple than that. They took a road trip down to to spring training. There's a chance that you might run into them. Of course, you'd probably have to go to where the Dodgers are playing if you want to run into
there's
Pat.
There's not too much possibility of that happening, I assure you.
By the way, how the Giants look so far?
Well, the Giants look pretty good. We've seen Jake Peavy I've seen him pitch a couple times in my week down here. They've got a couple of young bats that if they don't make it break into the outfield for the Giants or as a backup, why that are going to look pretty good. The kid Williamson's hit 3 long home runs here, and Parker, kid, there's a right fielder who's been bouncing back between the Giants and Sacramento last year. So there's the good news for Giants fans is that they have a pretty solid lineup, and so a lot of these kids are going to be at Sacramento, whereas if they were on other teams' rosters, they probably would be in the major leagues. But the Giants right now are just pretty deep. You know, they kind of needed a leadoff guy and a couple of pitchers, and that's pretty much what they added. So it's spring, and it's still early in the spring, and you're only seeing the regular players for 3 or 4 or 5 innings. But by the end of next week, the rosters will start looking a little bit like what they are for the regular season.
You're listening to the Travel Guys, doing a little sports at the moment, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, I might add. And now that we've covered the update in spring training in the Giants, it's time to bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what you got for us?
Well, we mentioned in the headlines that if you're a purist, you're a fan of supersonic transportation. Remember the Concorde, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I never got to fly on that. Some of my passengers flew on some of my travelers flew on one of the last flights, but NASA has awarded a $20 million contract to Lockheed Martin in California for the design of what it calls a low-boom flight demonstration aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
NASA is, what they're looking to do is they want to come up with something that doesn't, you know, the sonic boom when the Concorde passed the speed of sound caused many destinations in the United States to be off limits to it and caused the airplane to have to fly slower than the speed of sound. So Lockheed Martin is trying to develop a low-boom passenger aircraft that would emit a soft thump rather than a huge bang. So we'll see how that all sounds kind of exciting. And
yeah.
If you're a technology person, why it's something that may be a year or two off in the future. But nonetheless, supersonic transportation may be back around our planet before too long. All right, we talked about what happens in Vegas. Does it really stay in Vegas? Tom, a travel insurance company, Allianz Global Assistance, mm-hmm. asked the question in a recent survey. Now, why would a travel insurance company do this survey? Well, what they were trying to do was point out to people that some of the things that happen in Vegas, if you had travel insurance, you would be protected or covered or assisted in some ways. But
interesting.
I thought that the survey itself was the thing that was the most interesting.
Okay.
The majority of people, 55% of people, reported that what happened in Vegas did actually stay in Vegas.
That's great.
Yeah. So what is it that people leave behind in Vegas? What are the memories that they leave behind that they're trying not to take home? So this travel insurance company asked this question also, and the survey says that 45% of people lost money gambling, so that's really no surprise.
Right.
36% had no memory of something that happened in Vegas.
36%.
So they wouldn't have been able to repeat it to anybody anyway. Let's see here. What else did we have? Others said they were hoping to keep news of a fling on the down low, 7%. That they got sick, 7% more, that they sustained an injury, 3%, or get this, Tom, that they were booted out of their hotel room or casino, 2% of the people reported that.
What percent was that?
2%.
2%, okay.
So anyway, Allianz is saying that survey also revealed that 25% of people said that their misdeeds led to missed flights, hospital stays, lost or stolen passports or IDs or wallets, but only 16% of the people who were affected had travel insurance. So their point was that if you go to Vegas and you lose your mind and you forget what you're doing or you don't remember what you're doing, that if you have travel insurance, you might be covered in some cases. But I thought it was kind of cute that 55% of people, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I'm just thinking for the other 45%, it must be an awfully interesting visit home.
There you go. What you don't know, you don't want to know, right?
Yeah. You were pretty much right on that earlier. What you don't know, you don't want to know. Listen, remember when the German Wings airplane went down, the co-pilot basically flew it flew it down.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, yeah, maybe a little bit less than that. But the basically, it's been revealed now. The Chicago Tribune has reported that actually that was only about a year ago that that plane went down.
Okay.
And they are the pilot apparently had some psychiatric problems and had gone after the help of doctors, of a number of doctors, but because of German law, the doctors couldn't report that to aviation authorities. And apparently, for quite some time, the gentleman was kind of seeking help and couldn't get it. And of course, ultimately, 150 people died in that crash. So they're looking at revising German law to perhaps create a situation where that information could be a little bit more publicly available. Kind of a sticky situation, it sounds like, but certainly something that, while it didn't affect air traffic in this country, it's something that all of us who get on airplanes, you know, there's always the possibility it's not the right airplane that day. This week, there was a verdict that involved the hotel industry. Aaron Andrews, the sports reporter. Tom, did you hear about this?
I don't know if I have. Tell me.
Okay, well, she was in a hotel room.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do.
At Vanderbilt University.
Right, I do remember this. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and somebody had filmed her.
Guy took the peephole out and filmed her and stuff like that. Well, the jury decided this week that she was worthy of $55 million in damages. And so you think, well, okay, that's one mistake, one hotel. But what does that mean to the rest of us? Well, it means that hotels are going to look at, and you can especially expect Marriott hotels to do this, are going to be looking at revising. I spoke to some folks who are staying at a Marriott hotel here in Phoenix and spoke to them, and they've already seen things come down from above that say that security is going to be handled very differently. You know, in the old days, Tom, you'd stand at a hotel desk and they would say, Mr. Hoffman, your room is 327 and the elevator's right over there and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, now they don't ever say your room number at the desk. They point to it on your key packet.
Yeah.
And, you know, for security reasons. And there are other security things that hotels have done. But basically, on this one, they missed the boat, and it has cost them a huge chunk of money. So I will not be surprised if Marriott hotels have some serious tightening of some of their security in the coming weeks. So maybe if some of our listeners experience something like that someplace, why, they'll drop us a note or give us a call and let us know. Okay, one last item here. What would a news report be without an item on Spirit Airlines? Spirit Flight 141 from Baltimore landed at Los Angeles International Airport Wednesday and was taxiing to the gate when two customers who appeared to be intoxicated, who were playing music on a boombox, turned it up very loud. And when other passengers on board asked them to turn it down, they said, basically, you know, what are you going to do about it? And they wouldn't do it. So the customers who wanted them to turn it down went after the customers with the music. And so you had a brawl on a plane, on the ground. Five women apparently were involved in the brawl. And police and security people met the plane when it got to the gate. So just another day on Spirit Airlines just kind of gives you an idea of the type of people, perhaps, who might be flying on Spirit Airlines.
I saw that on TV. They had somebody had a video of it, and there was punching, and these women were throwing each. I mean, it was like almost all women. The big girl fight over this boombox thing. And one of the things that they said was they made everybody stay on the plane until the police came on board and questioned everybody before they let them off. So.
It says here there were no arrests, which kind of surprises me, frankly.
Yeah, they ended up basically saying it was sort of a mutual fist fight or a mutual disturbance. I mean,
welcome to Spirit Airlines.
There you go.
You never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, mutual combat was the final term.
And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK, and if you've always wanted to, Let me start again. How to get the best results from your travel agent. You want to know? Keep it here. Gwen Duncan joins us next here on the Travel Guys. You're tuned to the Travel Guys here on KFBK every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman in Phoenix, Arizona on the line. I'm Tom Romano here in the studio, and we're back. Mark, It's good. Where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? Well, Gwen Duncan is supposed to be calling us and just...
Oh, she's here. You want to do that?
Let's go to Gwen.
Gwen Duncan with Cordially Yours Travel joins us here on the radio. Gwen, are you in town this week?
Yes, I am.
It seems like every time we talk to you, you're usually at a wine tasting.
We were going to do that today, but the weather sucks.
Yeah, and I understand that next week you're going to Vegas. Did you hear Mark and I talking about Vegas earlier?
Oh, I sure did. I'm going to be too busy to get kind of cantankerous, you know.
Yeah, you want to tell us anything that happened in Vegas that you don't want to tell us about?
No. I can't think of anything.
She's definitely one of the 55% of the people, see, that she's not giving away the secrets. We just want to know, Gwen, are you the one of the 2% who got thrown out of their hotel room, or one of the 7% that, you know, had something going on that you know, on the down low, or?
None of the above.
Gwen, it's nice to talk to you. Today, nice. I wanted to just talk to you about a couple of things that I think are kind of what would be on people's minds if they're looking at working with a travel agent. What are the questions that people most commonly ask a travel agent? And then I want to ask you, what are the questions that people should be asking a travel agent?
Oh, but I think this is great. Well, one of the first things that they ask is, and this is practically everybody asks this, how has the internet affected your business? And a lot of them really believe that travel agents have become extinct, and that's not true. It's all changed around. That's one of the questions that they ask, and I can explain that one later. The other thing they ask is, do you charge a fee? Right off the top, do you charge a fee? And then the most prevalent question that they ask is, I bet you travel for free a lot, and how can I become a travel agent? That's what they usually ask. But what they should be asking is, number one, I would think that they should be asking if I am registered as a seller of travel in the state of California. The importance of that is that as a seller of travel, you contribute to the TCRC, that's the Travel Consumers Restitution Corporation. And that fund helps pay for if you're taken advantage of from an agency. You have to have contributed to that as an agent to be sure that your people are protected.
So if you're working with a legitimate travel agent, they will have a California or a tour operator. For example, my company has a seller of travel number. So if you're buying travel from someone in the state of California and you're a Californian, they should have a seller of travel number.
They should, yes. And if you don't see it prevalent now, you and I both know, me as an agency and you as a vendor, that we have to have that number posted on our websites, on our business cards, anything that we are promoting our business, that number should be there. Now, there are violations. You can look at any Sunday paper and you can see advertisements and you will sometimes not see that seller travel number on it. They're operating outside of the framework of the law. And so you'd have to come right out and ask them, what is your seller of travel number?
And if they don't have one, then
if they don't have one, you can turn them in
to move along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be the primary question to get started so that you know you're working with somebody who is working within the framework of the California seller of travel law. And California, Washington, and New York have the strictest ones, strictest policies for their agencies. So keeping that in mind.
And I think that's important to note to consumers is that, you know, sometimes we talk about the adverse effect of regulations and stuff like that. First of all, only a very few states have this seller of travel law. And the second thing that really is important to know is that when this law was enacted, what's it been, probably about 20 years ago now, Gwen?
It was in 1993.
Okay.
And so slightly over 1993.
Slightly over 20 years ago. But the reality is it was enacted to get these people who sell garbage packages and things that aren't for real out of the state of California and to keep them from selling them to people in California. And indeed, there is a huge restitution fund that sits, as you mentioned, to help people who might get taken advantage of by a con man or somebody who isn't legitimately selling travel the way they're supposed to. And the interesting thing is in the 20 plus years that fund has existed, it is funded by people like us.
That's right.
There was an original fee to pay into it, and I think we've been dinged once or twice. I think it was $7 one year or $19 or something like that. So what my point, I guess, Gwen, is that since this law has been enacted, the number of people ripping off travelers in California has dropped off fairly dramatically.
I would say that. However, you know, I am on that TCRC board right now. My last meeting is going to be next month because it's a two-year term I was elected to. And there's quite a balance of money in there. And it's contributed to when we have to drain it so much. And we've had a couple of consolidators and stuff who really ripped people off. We've had to pay out a lot of money. So this year, all travel agents, every travel agency is going to be contributing $100.
Gwen, I have to ask you, nowadays, you know, I remember using a travel agent in the past, and I would go to their office and sit down, and we would go through brochures and spend an hour kind of working out a vacation plan. But, you know, that was before the internet. And now
yes.
With the onset of the internet and so forth, do you still prefer to meet in your office with your clients, or do you do it online, or how's it work these days?
Well, I tell you, we do a lot of stuff over the phone calls. It's convenient for people, but I particularly like to meet with my clients. It's really fun, actually, to get to know them and get to know what their psychographic is and to get, you know, help them get excited about their trip. So what's happened with the internet, a lot of people do everything just on the internet. A lot of agents will do that. And you have to know your audience. So the millennials, they'll do everything by texting and on the phone. They don't take time to sit down. I find that the more mature the people are, the older the ones like to sit down. They want to know everything. Where's the closest restaurant to the hotel and anything, you know? And so meeting them in person really gets you to find out just what their travel MO is. And then I send out questionnaires so I can know as much as I can, because I can't help people as well if I don't know as much as possible about them. And qualifying them is the key to being.
Well, there you go. Gwen Duncan, thank you for thanks for joining us today, Gwen. And again, folks, go to travelguysradio.com. You can find a link to Gwen's website. She is cordially yours, Travel. If you need a good travel agent, we recommend that you talk to Gwen. We're the Travel Guys, and coming up after the news here, we're going to find out about what's going on in Jack London State Park and their Broadway Under the Stars series this year. And if you're a regular traveler with Mark, you know what? We're going to be announcing our winner for this week a little earlier than usual, too. We are the Travel Guys. More to come. You're tuned to the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, Mark is on the phone because he's the travel guy, and he's traveling to Arizona. Like I say, if you tuned in last week, right after the show, Mark hopped on a plane, which got away a little later than usual, and made his way to Phoenix, been watching ball games. You take your travelers there for every year, Mark. How long has Sports Leisure Vacations been taking groups to spring training?
Well, this is our 23rd year down here.
Wow.
So this is, actually, we haven't come 23 years in a row. We've been coming, this is our 23rd trip over a 25-year period, so we did miss a couple of things. But besides the ball games down here, Tom, one of the, you know, this is a huge era. It's a huge area, the greater Phoenix area here, and so there are lots and lots and lots of choices of places to dine and stuff. Today we had a Sunday brunch it'll be hard to top this one. We went to the historic Wrigley Mansion here, which is kind of interesting because Mr. Wrigley is the man whose Cubs, Wrigley Field, actually made the first spring training trip here to the Cactus to Arizona, which what eventually became the Cactus League. But really, dining around here is one of the great parts about visiting this area at the Wrigley Mansion today. Wonderful Sunday brunch. If you're ever in town, I highly recommend it. $49 plus tax and gratuity, of course, but a very elegant, wonderful food, terrific view. If you come down here with your family, Rustler's Roost is one of the places, one of the restaurants that I would suggest to you. It's kind of a cowboy steakhouse, which has a very unique twist. At the end of the meal, regardless of whether you order dessert or not, they bring a big wad of cotton candy and put it on your table.
That's great.
Yeah, and they've got a great big steer out in front that you can have your picture taken with, who is nicknamed Horny.
Okay.
You know, because of the horns.
Well, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad you're sharing this with me, because I'm going to go catch the Giants and the Diamondbacks, I think July 1st and 2nd, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, that's a lovely time to be here in Phoenix. I'm sure it'll probably be in the 110s by then.
Well, I don't have a choice. That's
The stadium's got a top on it. You know, something fun here, just for a minute, Tom, last night we got to meet, when we come down here, we line up speakers and stuff for the group, because after all, it's all about the experience, and other than just watching the ball games, it's fun to go behind the scenes and learn something about it. But last night we got to meet Ted Barrett, who is a major league, an active major league umpire, actually a crew chief, and a minor league umpire, a young man named Joe George, who is moving up into the Southern League this year, which is double-A ball. And you talk about a fascinating evening, being able to talk to a major league umpire who has made it. And the road for umpires to the major leagues is even tougher than it is for players. So that was absolutely kind of fascinating. Listen, we promised a winner on the Sports Leisure Vacations travel card for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a winner here. We did not have a winner last week. So this week, travel card is worth $200. And our winner is Sally Dowdle. It sounds like Dowdle. Who was on our colorful mystery coast trip with Clayton the last couple weeks. So, Sally, if you're listening to the radio, you call the Sports Leisure office on Monday or Tuesday, and you can claim a $200 travel card. And if we don't hear from Sally, next week we will have a $300 travel card to give away.
Well, there you go. By the way, while we're waiting for we're patiently waiting for our special guest from Jack London State Park to give us a call, I wanted to ask you. Now, you mentioned you're staying with your group at the Marriott when you guys go down there.
Uh-huh.
For those that may want to travel independently to spring training, what would you recommend?
Well, I'll tell you what. I would recommend this hotel that we're staying in. This is our third year here. And we're at a Marriott hotel that is just north of the Phoenix airport. If you're familiar at all with the Phoenix area, we're near 44th and McDowell. And it's a nice neighborhood. The only disadvantage is there aren't a lot of eating places like across the street, or you can't walk out the front door and walk to get fast food or even non-fast food. But this is a really nice hotel, moderately priced, extremely well run. We have a contract here for the next 2 years already, just because I don't want anything to happen to where we couldn't come here. So I do recommend this. Scottsdale is an area, Tom, that is really a lot more. Anytime you go to Scottsdale, you're paying about 10 to 15% more because it's in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of the ritzier part of things. The Tempe area down around ASU, there's a great place. The Main Dragon in Tempe is a great place to go for lunch or dinner. There's, you know, Five Guys. There's a pizza place down there called the Mellow Mushroom that we like to hit. In fact, I think that's where we're going for dinner this evening. So there are a lot of options around town. Even Grimaldi's Pizza, which we visit in Brooklyn, is a New York institution and has made it to Vegas, now has locations all over the Phoenix area. So, and there are approximately, I saw something from the tourism folks the other day that said there are approximately 160,000 tourists in this area at any given time during the month of March. Can you imagine that?
Wow, I'll tell you. It's not, and this is now when spring training is over and all of that, what's it like there in Phoenix and Scottsdale and so forth?
Well, people ask about these ballparks down here because, of course, in many cases, the ballparks go pretty much unused the rest of the year because colleges and high schools and stuff can't use them because they're not available during the month of March, which, of course, is in the middle of their season. So in many cases, these small baseball palaces that have been built down here, and the Cubs have just built a brand-new stadium in the last couple of years, which is not a small palace at all. It holds 15,000 people. And the fact that the Giants sell every ticket to every game, the Angels stadium was packed yesterday. They had 600 standing room people on the concourse, which was kind of a pain in the tush. This is huge business down here. The tickets yesterday at Diablo Stadium in Tempe, which I can remember tickets there costing $14 for spring training, were $60 yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
$58 at Scottsdale. So this is not folks will wonder, they'll say, what do the concessions cost down here at spring training? There, things are probably a little cheaper. Oh, not so fast. A domestic beer down here, a 16-ounce domestic beer, want to take a throw at it?
$12?
$8.
Oh boy!
So they're
it's a bargain.
$11 if you want the big beer. Right. And if you want something like a Heineken or something, then you fill out basically a financial report and they get back to you.
Well, one more question, and that is having to do with transportation and getting from one game to the other. You know, I know that from what I've heard, the facilities, the different ballparks are, you know, spaced apart. There are some of them are quite a ways apart. So clearly, I guess you're going to need a rental car, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, the rental cars is probably what you need, because public transportation here in the Valley of the Sun is not on a level of New York or San Francisco or anything like that. So yeah, you need a rental car. Basically, Tom, none of the state, we're kind of in the central here. We're only about 2 miles from downtown Phoenix. So that would be the middle of the valley, kind of, geographically. And you can get to any stadium in about 30 to 45 minutes. Of course, the ball games get out about 4 o'clock, so you're going to be thrown into rush hour traffic, pretty much, except for on Saturdays and Sundays down here. But a little patience, it all works out. And besides that, you can always find a favorite watering hole or a place to eat that's near the ballpark, or if you haven't, you know, filled yourself up on ballpark food. It's kind of amazing to me that people would pay $20 to stand at a ballpark like they did yesterday and drink $8 beers, because 4 beers later, you're in a hot dog later, you're out $60 and you didn't even have a place to sit.
Oh, my. All right, Nan. And here again, if you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, I'm guessing you've got your coaches and you shuttle your people from the hotels and so forth in an air-conditioned coach to the games.
We do. Our folks get the kind of the royal treatment. And, you know, we talked about those seats in the shade, and we're either in the shade at the beginning of the game or in the shade not too far after the game starts. So that's kind of how we make sure that folks, when they come here, are well protected, and that because it is real, and I can't emphasize enough to people that if they're thinking about making a trip to spring training, I don't care how old you are, you come down here, and if you don't have your sunscreen and you don't have a plan and you haven't thought about where you might be sitting or something ahead of time, why, that's shame on you, because your experience will probably suffer because of it. We see hundreds of people every day and talk to people around the hotel who say, oh, yeah, we're thinking about going to the Giants game tomorrow. So how do you get tickets? And it's like, wow, you know, if you're just asking now, how do you get tickets? You buy them from a broker, from somebody on the street who's, you know, selling them to you. That's how you get tickets.
Well, it looks like our guest was tied up somewhere, Mark. And so let's go ahead, you and I, talk briefly about the Jack London State Park Broadway Under the Stars series that's kicking off here.
Okay. It's the 2016 series is what we're here to talk about. You know, it's literally under the stars, and USA Today rated this as the second best outdoor venue to watch anything in the country. So Jack London State Park, they have 4 shows in the 2016 season. It starts on June the 17th. They have this Magic Moment, Fantastical Family Night in the middle of July for 2 nights, and then Gotta Dance, and then a big celebration at the end. So it's very easy to get tickets. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and you can find a link to the tickets there. And too bad that our guest wasn't able to join us today, but maybe we will be able to get Stefan Steubens, who is the co-executive director of the Transcendence Theater Company.
All right. Mark, by the way, quickly,
yes.
We've been talking about some voting that you can do. Online.
Yes, go to travelguysradio.com and you can vote on the Freddie Awards for the rest of this month. You can pick your favorite frequent flyer program, your favorite hotel award program, travelguysradio.com. Anybody can vote, and there's a link to the votes there, so get in there and register your choices.
All right, coming up next on the Travel Guys, if you are a frequent flyer, miles, hotel points geek, stick around. We've got Julian Keel, his first visit with us here on the Travel Guys. Extremely talented, informative guy, and hits next on the Travel Guys. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFVK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, you're a huge frequent flyer kind of guy. We've done a lot of stuff on the air over the years about the advantages and disadvantages of frequent flyers and miles and how it's changed. And we've lined ourselves up another expert to bring on the show. Maybe make our listeners a little smarter travelers about frequent flying.
We absolutely are. To coin a Bernie Sanders phrase, you're right. I am a huge frequent flyer guy. And it's becoming more frustrating and more challenging as time goes on, certainly, to play the frequent flyer game. In fact, more than one person has just thrown up their hands and I'm sure and walked away from it. Julian Keel is on the line with us. Julian, he writes about travel loyalty programs on a regular basis, and he's joining us here to talk a little bit about loyalty programs. Julian, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Julian, the rage these days, or the word on the street about frequent traveler and frequent stay mileage point programs, is that, you know, they're being devalued right and left. Many people feel like, well, you know, they're chasing the carrot on the stick, and every time they get close to the carrot, people in charge move the stick a little bit. Is that true, and are frequent traveler and frequent flyer programs, are they still worth people's while to be a part of?
You know, Mark, there is some validity to that. And the fact is, right now, the airlines in particular, but the hotel chains as well, are making more money than they have pretty much in their entire history of existence. And so they don't have a lot of reason to entice customers with added bonuses and more generous loyalty programs. Now, that being said, if you're wise about it, if you really are strategic about it, and it does take some organization and it does take some time, you can still get great value out of these programs depending on what you want to do with them.
Okay, so give me an example of a program that you think offers great value at this point in time, or some aspect of it that you think is valuable to travelers.
Well, personally, now I fly a lot. I fly probably a lot more than the average person. I last year did about 100,000 miles on American. That's my personal airline, and that gives me a high status. Now, that's obviously not going to apply to everyone, but for a long time, and still for another few weeks, American has a pretty favorable award chart, and in recent weeks they've also been offering more space. A lot of people go crazy with blackout dates, and blackout dates are really the bane of travel loyalty programs. So American in the last few weeks has been much more open with especially international first class space, business class space. Now is a great time, if you're looking to take that big trip to, say, Asia or Europe, to jump on the American chart, to use that chart to your advantage and to burn those miles, even if you're going to travel after the chart gets, as we say, devalued on March 22nd. You can book that trip all the way out almost a year right now.
Okay, so American Airlines right now has a very small window because they haven't changed their program to match what United and Delta have done. Let's shift to hotels for a minute, Julian. Do you have a favorite hotel loyalty program or an aspect of the hotel loyalty programs that you like a lot?
You know, it's funny. I actually just wrote an article last week on TravelCodex.com, one of the two blogs I write for, about how I was giving up my Hyatt Diamond status. I've been Hyatt Diamond for about a year and a half. Now, Hyatt Diamond is terrific, and there are if you're going to have an extended stay at a Hyatt or several Hyatt stays in a row, you can request a status challenge for Hyatt Diamond. If you stay 12 stays within approximately, I believe it's 90 days, you can get that diamond status without having to stay the usual 25 stays in a year or whatever it might be at this point.
Now, Tom, let me just interject here, Tom. Not everybody knows that. For most of these loyalty programs, there are two ways to get status.
Right.
One is to go an entire year, follow the rules, tack up the miles, the stays, the points, the whatever, to qualify. Another one is to ask them for a challenge. If you already have status, a high status in one program, let's say you were top tier, like Julian is in American, you found that suddenly United was going to be the better airline for you. So you go to United and you say, look, I have this status with American, and you ask United for a challenge. And they will frequently give you the opportunity over a 30-day period or a 90-day period, say, you know, you fly this proportionate number of miles or stay these number of nights, and we will give you this same top-tier matching status. Sorry, Julian, I just wanted to jump in there and kind of explain.
That is fascinating that you can actually, you know, play a little game here, a little challenge game with a competitor. Go on, Julian.
And I'll add another little hack, if you will, to that challenge that Mark was just mentioning. Sometimes, as Mark said, often they want you to see status in a different airline, a competitor. Sometimes, though, you'll find an offer where they're not asking for it. American has put those out in the last few months, and you've been able to snag those without having to show any status. Or another way to do it, various different credit cards will often give you status in one chain, which you can then leverage to get a status match in another chain.
Our guest is Julian Keel. He's a frequent columnist with a frequent Miler, Travel Codex, also written for U.S. News and World Report, Inside Flyer. Julian, there's a lot of folks that, you know, probably fly a lot and stay a lot, and for whatever the reason, they really have never signed up for any with a particular airline for frequent flyer or hotels. You're speaking to them right now on the radio. Which particular airline and which particular hotel chain would you recommend that they start up with?
Tom, it's get that question all the time, and my answer is, I know, a little nebulous, but it really is the truth. It depends on what your travel needs are. First of all, you should sign up for all the programs. They're free to sign up. There's no reason not to sign up and at least accumulate miles on whatever airline you happen to be flying at that time. As far as what is right for your individual situation, it depends on where you live and what kind of travel do you want to do. If you want to travel economy in the United States, maybe Southwest is a good program for you. If, on the other hand, you're looking for international travel in first class or in business class, then you're probably going to want to look at one of the three legacy airlines, American, I already mentioned, or even Delta and United, because that's where you're going to find real value for your mile.
Mark, are you on board with all that?
Absolutely, and it's the same thing with the hotel, Tom. If you're a person who frequently stays in more upscale properties like Sheratons and Hiltons and Marriotts, the parent company of some of these hotel chains, the parent brand, then you're more likely to gravitate to that. But if you frequently stay in Best Westerns, then that's the program where you need to hang your hat. I mean, a lot of this has to do with what product do you like to start with, and then you start fiddling around and looking for where the nooks and crannies might be, and people like Julian sometimes can send you in that direction. But the other reality is, I've always said, if you see that your credit card, your favorite credit card program or frequent flyer program is giving away a high credit card bonus, you are in deep trouble, because a devaluation is just around the corner.
There's definitely some truth to that, Mark. You know, credit cards are a big part of travel hacking. And I know a lot of people aren't necessarily comfortable with credit cards, and I get that. If you're not responsible with credit and you're not going to be sure to pay that bill in full every month without accruing interest, you shouldn't play that part of the game.
That's a really important point that you make there. And we talk about this a lot, Tom, on the radio, about these different programs and stuff. And Julian has just made a really good point. If you cannot afford to pay off your credit card in full every month or 11 months out of 12, then you should not be playing this miles points thing, because you're going to pay way more in interest than you're going to gain from the points and the miles and stuff like that. So that's that, Julian, that is an excellent point.
And the other point is also, you need to make sure that you have a credit score that has a little wiggle room at the top, because every time you take out one of these cards, you're decreasing you're dropping your credit score. So you have to have some credit score overhead, don't you think, gentlemen?
Oh, absolutely. And what you really really need is, and like as Julian is saying, if you travel all the time, if you're a 100,000-mile flyer and you stay in three or four different hotel chains regularly, then you should belong to all of those programs because you can get free Wi-Fi and little perks along the way. But find one that you can concentrate on and make that your home because it really is. You're going to get extra benefits that will accrue along the way and little things like just bargains and deals that they will send you in the mail. Julian, thank you very much for your time. Okay, if we check back in with you in a few months or something like that, get an update on some of the programs?
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to talk to you guys anytime you'd want. Thank you again very much for having me on.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Gwen, for joining us. And we'd also like to remind you, go to travelguysradio.com. You'll find everything about what we had on the show today. You can also podcast old programs anytime you like. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We'll be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Be listening during the week for Mark and his travel tips right here on KFBK. James next with the news.